Hey, what's up, everybody? My name's MJ, and you're listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast. As usual, I'd like to give a quick shout-out to my local game store, Guardian Games. You can find Guardian Games on the web at ggportland.com. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about tribes that may not necessarily be supported yet or have ever been supported, you know, and we're using supported in a very wide, broad terms here, by Wizards of the Coast throughout the history of Magic. Obviously, Magic is known for a lot of favorite tribes, goblins, angels, zombies, etc., etc. But we're going to be talking today about a lot of the tribes that don't necessarily have support, and ways that we as players can find ways to try to give those tribes that don't have a lot of dedicated or any dedicated tribal support cards some support to make them more viable in the EDH format. To be able to do so today, I would like to bring my guest on the show today. So, without further ado, I'd like to welcome Ezhiel to the show. Welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Yeah, no problem. This sounds like a very interesting topic today. So, again, you have a curated list of cards that you believe, or you know, I should say you know, not believe, again, we're just being honest here. You have a curated list of cards that you've pulled from your collection, your decks, that you believe can definitely be of use to anyone trying to build a tribe, but who doesn't really have a whole lot of useful support cards for specifically that tribe. So could you go through some of those cards, and we'll just talk about them and how we can help some people who may be struggling to find their favorite tribe, make it a stronger deck, how they might be able to utilize these cards to good effect in their own decks.
Oh, for sure. So I've got a few of them, as you said. Realmwalker is the one I kind of want to start with to begin with, because, one, it's a changeling. It has every creature type, so you don't really have to worry about your tribe. You choose a creature type when it enters the battlefield, and you can look at the top card of your library, and you can also cast the creature spell from the top card of your library of the chosen type. So it lets you kind of filter through your deck a little faster for any tribe, really, but the lesser supported tribes need all the help they can get with that.
Yeah, so it's kind of like that inauspicious snoop that came out, I believe that was that Commander Legends, potentially, which did this for goblins specifically, and Realmwalker from Call Time takes this one step further by allowing you to not just take goblins off the top of your deck, but be able to play any sort of creature off the top of your deck. So if you're able to have 20 to 25 of your chosen creature type, Realmwalker is probably going to give you a lot of value no matter what color you choose, just with the caveat being you have to at least be playing green to be able to get this sort of value.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a pretty decently sized body for 3 mana, 2/3.
And that's really good for having a lord, frankly. Maybe it's not necessarily a... Yeah, I guess we could consider it a lord, plus giving you that card advantage as well. I mean, that's part of the reason why we've seen a lot more of these kinds of effects of casting cards from the top of your library. I'm thinking of something like Bolas's Citadel comes to mind, is the fact that being able to access the top of your library with a specific card gives you a lot of additional card advantage, because all of a sudden now your hand is not just the cards that you're holding on to, but all of a sudden the top of your library becomes an extension of your hand. And especially in a tribal deck where you want to be getting a lot of creatures out of your chosen type, you're going to want to be able to have that card choice. So having the ability to, and then even just looking at the top card of your library, that's a pretty powerful effect, honestly. It's like you can basically scry whenever you need to know whatever's on top there. Obviously, you can't manipulate it as easily, but a little bit of top deck manipulation, you can definitely get rid of that issue.
Oh yeah, and honestly, anytime it says you can look at the top of your library and not have to reveal it, it's just an added bonus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I used to have a Rata Heart of Keld deck where it was nice to be able to take a look at the top card in my library whenever I needed to know if I was going to have a land to be able to drop on the battlefield. And this allows you to actually not just look at the top card, but actually be able to play it. Which, again, if you're able to even get like someone like Fidalcan Orrery or something, gives you flash speed. Emergence Zone is great here. All of a sudden, you can, on EOT before your turn, drop out a creature or two off the top of your deck, and all of a sudden, you're ready for your turn. You've reloaded. Nice for making up after a board wipe, just a lot of ways to be able to work with this Sorna card in for whatever tribe you need it for, as long as you're playing green.
Yeah. And so the next one I have on my list is Xenograph, which is a 5-drop enchantment. when it enters the battlefield, you choose a creature type, and each creature you control is the chosen type in addition to its other types. So that works really well with Realmwalker in particular, because say you've got some value creatures, like some random lords, but you want them to buff your creatures in the tribe that you're in, but your tribe doesn't have those lords, you can swap your tribe over to that creature type, and just everything in your deck is suddenly stronger.
Mm-hmm. And I think you can use this for just even other value creatures as well. You know, if you have even, let's say you have a secure tribe elder, you know, if you want your Steve to be a goat, you can make Steve into a goat. It doesn't matter what the original stats are. The fact that you now have a goat on the field, I mean, again, I'm using a really facetious example here, but you could with Xenograph. So, yeah, it does allow you to have a little bit of flexibility in building, as you all of a sudden you're kind of polymorphing, I suppose, some of your creatures into another creature type, and you're able to get those values. Or, again, if you just... Maybe you don't even need to run one single tribe. Maybe you could run two or three tribes, and whatever you need at that given time, you could switch it over there. It just seems like a lot of freedom with this card.
Yeah, there's a lot of maneuverability, I guess. I'm trying to think of the word. It's not maneuverability.
You got a lot of flexibility.
Versatility.
Here.
There we go.
Versatility. Flexibility.
And honestly, that's basically what the next card I have is, Conspiracy.
Oh,
yes. It chooses a creature type, creatures you own that aren't in play, creature spells you control, and creatures you control are the chosen type. That one's a little different because you have to stat Conspiracy a little different because it will override other creature types.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely something, you're right, you do have to think ahead on this one, but typically if you're going to be playing Conspiracy, you're only looking for one certain tribe, one certain creature type, so you're probably not going to worry about having lords that don't really fit with the creature type that you're trying to work for, because you're trying to make sure that everything else in your deck automatically fits that tribe. So this seems kind of like a piece to a combination of cards versus maybe just like a value card, I suppose.
Yeah, it's just a way to get everything rolling.
Yeah, that's interesting. I guess I didn't really think about Conspiracy off in our pre-show here, but yeah, that's a really tried and true way to be able to get the creatures into the type that you want. You typically see something like this when you have a lot of value creatures, and you have you have tribal synergy, but you have some value creatures that don't necessarily fit with that tribe. And Conspiracy allows you to be able to turn those couple of extra value creatures into additional synergistic pieces for the rest of your deck. But again, the fact that you have that flexibility with Conspiracy, that you don't necessarily need to have a whole, you don't need to have a extremely strong tribe. You can turn any creature into anything, gives you that flexibility that you need to be able to pull this off for those unsupported tribes. So that it's really nice to be able to have that ability, even if it's not necessarily the most powerful. The fact that one card can turn everything into exactly what you need it for is not to be underrated, not to be underestimated at all.
Oh yeah, like Plant Tribal maybe, because as we were talking about before we started, mm-hmm. Avenger of Zendikar, turn everything into plants, Avenger is buffing itself as well as every other creature you have on the board.
Yeah, that does make a lot of sense, and yeah, so type manipulation is definitely something I think as players we maybe don't do as much as we could have. We could. I mean, it's one of those things where we like building tribal decks, but I personally haven't seen a lot of conspiracy type cards used to change creature types. Again, it's something has to do with the fact that it's usually easier to build tribal cards around, you know, the cards that have a dragon, angel, again, zombie printed on them personally. Or as printed on that card specifically. But again, you just have that flexibility. And that's what's so nice about Conspiracy. You don't have to worry about it. You can just say, I want it to be a plant token. All of a sudden, your Avengers Zendikar is a plant. Is now a plant versus being an elemental. It's just, it's really nice to be able to have that flexibility no matter what deck you're running.
Oh, yeah, for sure. The next one that I have is honestly what I like to consider the better Xenograft. Arcane Adaptation from Ixalan.
Yep, that's a real killer right there.
Because 3/5 mana, it's same exact effect, basically. But it also affects cards that aren't on the battlefield. So it's kind of like a weird hybridization of Conspiracy and Xenograft.
Mm-hmm.
Because it says that creatures you control and creature cards you own that aren't on the battlefield are that creature type as well as their other types. So yeah. It takes the best of both worlds.
Yeah, because you're not replacing it at all. Like with Conspiracy, all of a sudden you're just adding that piece to it. So just like the Xenograft, you're not taking those types away. You're just adding, and that's... Sometimes taking the types away can actually be negative, I think, to your deck, especially if you're looking at tribal synergies. So adding a type to a creature, I personally think, is a better option, better way to go.
Yeah, like add a wizard to any creature type, and suddenly you have a whole bunch of powerful synergies that you can throw into your deck.
Mm-hmm. Versus just saying, hey, you know, you're... whatever, your zombie creature all of a sudden now is no longer a zombie. It turns into, I don't know, a bird. And, well, all of a sudden, if you had zombie lords, if you had a zombie payoff, well, all of a sudden, now your zombie's a bird. So you've taken that away versus now it could be a zombie bird. If you're playing Xenograft or playing Arcane Adaptation or something like that. And so taking or adding another type is never a bad thing. And I think it gives you that flexibility that replacing or removing types will not give you.
Honestly, aside from adding another type, one of the better ways to support a smaller tribe, like, say, squirrels, despite the popularity, don't have that much support. There's, like, 30 cards that aren't silver-bordered.
Mm-hmm.
And copy spells. Any sort of copy spell is amazing with an unsupported tribe like that, because suddenly, say you've got one lord in the entirety of the tribe, well, now you can just repeatedly make more and more of that lord, buffing your entire board across the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of brings me to the next card that I have on my list, Reflections of Lit Jara.
Yep. New card straight out of Kaldheim.
Yup, does the same old choose a creature type thing, but it doesn't change the creature types. What it does is whenever you cast a spell of the chosen type, you copy the spell.
Mm-hmm.
So one can turn into two, which can turn into whatever you need to go on. Like, say you're playing a weird Sakashima build, and you've got Patron of the Moon in the deck.
Mm-hmm.
You copy the Patron of the Moon, suddenly you have two of these big, beefy flyers that are a pain. Because Sakashima doesn't care about Legendary.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. I guess I hadn't really thought about that, but mostly because Sakashima is just gross in a lot of ways. But that's something else. Yeah, the fact that you are able to get around the legendary rule especially means that you don't have to worry about whatever's in your hand. I mean, obviously, a lot of creatures are not legendary, so the reflections will help you there. But, yeah, with Sakashima out, your legendaries, it doesn't matter what you have out there. The legendary rule does not apply, and you're in great shape, which means everyone else is in real trouble, especially depending on what you're able to slam down the table next.
Yeah, especially when it comes to some tribes are mostly legendaries.
Yeah, a lot like dragons, for instance, which just have a boatload of legendary dragons, especially out of the cons block, for instance. There were just so many of those that when I did try to build a dragon tribal deck for my local meta, I ended up including more legendary dragons than non-legendaries. So I'll just say that much.
Yeah, there are, I think it is mostly legendaries and dragons. Spirits are very much the same too, though they've got a bunch of non-legendary spirits, but that's one of the tribes that's actually supported.
Yeah. So again, for those listening at home here, we're trying to talk about ways to be able to help unsupported tribes to be able to compete a little better with more supported tribes. Again, all of the cards we're talking about here can definitely work for any tribe throughout Magic's history. Again, we're just trying to utilize these cards to highlight ways that someone like goats or, again, as I know you're really into squirrels, so I was wondering how long it was going to be before you brought squirrels up on the show, actually. Trying to make squirrels a more viable tribe through the use of some of these cards to make up for some of the fact that squirrels don't necessarily see a lot of help outside of silver outside of the unsets.
Yeah, which is a little strange because they've had a ton of great ideas in the unsets that I wish they would implement into a standard set for squirrels. Like Earl of Squirrel was really cool. It's basically, what is it, Pollenbright Wings? It's almost like a Pollenbright Wings for squirrels because however much damage it deals, it creates that many squirrels.
Okay.
Or like Acornelia was a really cool design that I wish was not silver border.
Yeah, that was a good design.
It just seems like it would be a great card in any constructed format, honestly. It's got a nifty mechanic that you can either use fairly or you can go way over the top and abuse the heck out of it.
Mm-hmm. All right, what's the next card on your list?
I have one last one on my list that's it's really almost more of the same. It's a Maskwood Nexus.
Okay, yep, another fairly new card. Well, actually, another Kaldheim card.
It is. There was a lot of cool support in Kaldheim.
Thanks to the shapeshifters.
Makes everything shapeshifters, essentially.
Yep, and doesn't it give a boost, a buff?
Okay. No, but you can pay 3 and tap it to create a...
Right, the
2/2 shapeshifter.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I just keep kind of forgetting which card does what because there's so many shapeshifter cards in that Kaldheim set that I kind of forget what does what because basically copy shapeshifter token something buff. So yeah.
Yeah, there was a bunch of cool shapeshifters in there. Orvar was really awesome.
Definitely that's powerful commander option there. Mono blue.
You can also use Orvar to help out your unsupported tribes because target one of the creatures, you create a copy of it.
Mm-hmm.
Or not even creatures, permanents.
True. I mean, with the only caveat being they have to play blue. So that is the one downside to playing Orvar.
Yeah, but how many people complain about playing blue?
I do. Okay, not really, but yeah, it's definitely one of those things where you do have to be concerned about color identity on some of these cards. But again, what else is new as far as Magic? Our format just has those issues where we can't always play every card that we want to. But again, the fact like Maskwood Nexus is colorless allows that freedom that you won't necessarily have with any of these other cards.
Oh yeah, that Maskwood Nexus you can slot into really anything.
Yeah, you really can, because it's just making tokens, and obviously if you have any kind of tribal synergies there, you're able to make so many tokens using Maskwood Nexus. It's pretty gross, honestly.
It's very, very good. I love it.
All right, and I did want to actually add one card of my own to this list. Again, we've been talking about cards that do allow you to change all of your creatures to one certain creature, or it's all creature types, but there are cards like Arachnoform from Kaldheim, as well as Rune Stalactite, which means that the equipped or enchanted creature in Arachnoform's case get a buff as well as our every creature type. So if you're just looking for one specific creature to be protected by a certain clause like that, these are also a good way to go. I do run Rune Stalactite in my Sigarda Host of Herons deck to give her a buff, give herself hexproof, because she gives all humans I control hexproof, but she is not a human herself. So tossing one of these cards on her turns her into a human angel for, you know, as much sense as that makes, and gives her hexproof as well. So I would say if you're looking for one specific card and you just need a little bit of protection, these are also super cheap options and are really worthwhile in a deck if you just need certain creatures to fit with the creature type.
Oh, yeah, and you could actually throw Nexus in there, too, because it's colorless.
Yeah, definitely. I guess I don't have one in my collection, but yes, I'll definitely have to think about throwing one of those in there soon to make a whole bunch of little human tokens, or shapeshifter tokens that are humans. So, now that we've talked about some of the cards that allow us to create copies, change creature types and all that, what do you think is the biggest hurdle for people trying to say, let's say someone besides you says, I like squirrels, I want to build a deck around them, but there aren't many pieces to be able to do that with beyond, you know, four or five top cards, you know, Deep Forest Hermit, something like that. Acorn Catapult, Squirrel Nest. The typical cards you would think when you're talking about squirrels, things that make squirrel tokens, things that, you know, if you can buff a squirrel, et cetera, et cetera. But again, our biggest problem with this specific concept is that we don't have a whole lot of ways to be able to buff our squirrels. So I guess the question for lesser supported tribes is, yes, we have talked about these cards that turn all of our other creatures into squirrels, but are there other ways that we can find using other card choices that don't change our creatures into squirrels necessarily that we can use to support these tribes? Again, even things like all creatures of a certain type get X ability, get a power boost. I mean, for you in building these kinds of decks, what would you look for when trying to build, let's say, Squirrel Tribal? You don't have a lot of pieces. What are some of those good support pieces that are non-squirrel related do you think would be necessary to really be able to buff your squirrels or non-squirrels to really make your deck run?
A great one to start off with is Adaptive Automaton. Because that one you can choose the type and it becomes that type, and other creatures of that type get a buff of +1/+1. You could use something like, say your deck ran white, you could use Angelic Exaltation. So as long as you have a few creatures, that one creature that's attacking gets really buff. Let's see, what else do we got? We've got Appeal to Authority. That's a good one in Selesnya. There we go. I kind of think of the title. We've got, what else is there? I'm trying to think,
white is full of a lot of anthem effects of this type. You have a Glorious Anthem, other ones that give your creatures or other white creatures +1/+1, things like that. But again, all the colors have something like that too. I mean, Bad Moon in black for giving all black creatures +1/+1. I mean, there are definitely ways to be able to give creatures a buff outside of type here. It's a little bit trickier because all of a sudden you need to start worrying about how many anthems do I need to run to make this tribe viable.
Oh yeah, or you can give them things that just make trouble for people, like get them under their blockers or give them death touch, things like that, first strike.
Mm-hmm. So again, you start looking at maybe some of the red cards that give you haste, something like Fervor, potentially, or Knighthood in white, giving all your creatures first strike. And again, these are regardless of type. So you're giving your entire team a buff, regardless of whether it's their squirrels, zombies, whatever. They all have that ability as soon as you play that card. So, yeah, these, I feel like these are necessary parts when you do have a completely unsupported tribe, is you have to find other ways to give yourself those abilities that you wouldn't necessarily have otherwise. I mean, obviously, slivers give each other abilities with other slivers. So all your creatures give your other creatures abilities. Well, when you're playing with an unsupported tribe, you kind of have to mess around with anthems, a lot of enchantments, maybe some artifacts, because your creatures are not always going to have those buffs right on the card. You're going to have to find other ways to give your team those stat ability boosts.
And sometimes your creatures just, you don't have enough of them, so you have to find a way around that.
Yeah. Yeah, so the name of the game that we're really trying to get to here is that it's not impossible to play unsupported or undersupported tribes. You just really have to start trying to figure out exactly what you're looking for and try to cherry pick the effects that you want, because you're not necessarily going to get that immediate zombies get +1/+1, squirrels get +1/+1. Well, again, you have to start kind of digging deep and asking yourself, well, if I can only have adaptive automaton, let's say, then that's one or, you know, maybe two of the chosen type. How am I able to make all of my other creatures larger without having that ability stapled to a specific tribe? And that's really where I think a lot of the challenge comes in, for especially for people who are newer to the game and say, I have this tribe that I really like, but I don't have all of that many cards. How do I make this into a viable deck that I want to play? And I can see that being a real challenge especially for newer players, because again, you don't have those obvious, I don't really want to say auto include, but you know what I'm talking about. Those cards that you're going to throw in there, the obvious lords, the synergistic pieces. You really have to try to find ways to get around those, and that's tricky. There's so many cards in Magic's history that, again, can do things, but you have to know that they exist. I mean, I didn't even know half these cards existed, really, a month or two ago. A lot of these cards are from Call Time, so we didn't have those a year or two ago. So, you know, there's been some changes made recently to help out tribal synergies, but again, with the undersupported tribes, you still have to get creative and just try to find creative solutions to get out of that problem that other tribes have no issues with. Going off this interesting fact here, we now have the new Ruxa Patient Professor coming out of Strixhaven that does give buffs to vanilla creatures. And as we talked before the show, tokens especially are technically vanilla creatures. So those 1/1s that you create have no abilities unless you have cards that give them abilities. And what Ruxa does, again in green, is give those vanilla creatures additional abilities. So while this isn't necessarily giving them an additional type, you are able to give them abilities. And again, this kind of goes with the knighthood fervor examples that I just gave a moment ago, where you're able to give those creatures some abilities based on like the old style global enchantments. So what are some of your thoughts on the new Ruxa card and how that potentially increases especially the token game?
Oh yeah, especially since it's a big body. It's a 4/4, so it gets around a lot of things like lightning bolt and shock and whatnot. It gives the anthem effect to all your tokens as long as they don't have like flying or menace or what have you. And it's got this extra little effect at the very bottom of the card that says you may have creatures you control with no abilities assign their combat damage as though they weren't blocked. So you basically turn all of your tokens into questing beasts.
Ah, yes. Or like a Thorn Elemental or something.
Just a real big pain.
Yeah, that's interesting. And it also makes a lot of those older cards which had no abilities much better, honestly.
Yeah, it definitely increases their viability where, like, say you're running something like Yargle, for example.
Yep.
Yargle suddenly gets really scary because it's dealing, what, 9 damage?
As long as it's the power, yeah, 9.
Yeah, that's, holy heck, that's kind of terrifying.
Yeah, that really is. I mean, you have to be playing at least black and green there, but again, that's no difficulty. There's a lot of interesting cards. I mean, there's just a lot of old cards, too, that have a ton of power toughness and don't have any keyword abilities that you could easily swing in. I mean, just basically look at any green cards, any green commons from a lot of standard sets going back years. There's all sorts of big, beefy creatures that don't have any keywords that are just a common, and all of a sudden those become playable.
Dinosaurs. It really helps out a bunch of dinosaurs, like a Colossal Dreadmaw, Gigantosaurus. That black one that makes you discard a card?
Rotting Regisaur.
Yeah, Rotting Regisaur.
And yeah, it makes that really playable. 3 cost 7/6.
All of those become far scarier than they would be normally.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I have heard that a lot of people are trying to build around Roxa because it opens up a lot of old cards or just even new cards that don't really see much of any play. And all of a sudden, they're now viable. And that it's good to see that Wizards has printed a card like that that, again, while it doesn't necessarily help with the tribal synergies in all cases, it does provide, I guess, support for underplayed and unusable in some case cards that now have a home to play. And that's why, again, I keep harping on the fact that's why we play Commanders for cards like that. At least that's definitely the reason why I play Commanders, for silly things like that. But it's just interesting to see that kind of support for vanilla creatures. In some ways, that's almost its own tribe, right?
Yeah, almost. And a lot of vanilla creatures are in a bunch of under-supported tribes, too.
Yeah. I mean, obviously not the Colossal Dread Mob, but even just bears, you know, for the longest time didn't necessarily have a lord or really a whole lot of support until a year or two ago. So I guess you could have considered them to be falling into this category as well. So yeah, there's been a lot of improvement on this front over the last couple of years, and especially with Call Time with all the shapeshifters, you're able to make up for a lot of the weaknesses right off the bat just by having those. I don't want to use auto include, but you just have those cards that you want to include in these decks now available, and especially the artifacts. Now you have those available to players at any color, so it doesn't matter what color you're playing, you have some access. But it does help to be playing blue or green, honestly. Let's not gloss over that fact. The two most powerful colors in Magic have the abilities to be able to copy and or turn creatures into other types and whatnot. So it does end up being, again, at least running two colors or one of those two colors is most useful. But if you're playing black, red, or white or whatnot, you still have some options like with Maskwood Nexus and whatnot.
Yeah, Obelisk of Urd is another one that helps out. There's a few different ones that really can fit into any color.
Yep, and Obelisk of Urd, for those who don't know, is a 6-cost artifact that gives creatures of a chosen type +2/+2 and has Convoke, so if you have a bunch of creatures on the battlefield, they can pay for one generic each. And is a card that sees some play. Again, it's a little heavy depending on what you're looking for. But yeah, and in a lot of tribal decks where you don't have a lot of support, giving your creatures +2/+2 is nothing to sneeze at.
Oh yeah, like the bears, as you were talking about earlier, in a deck with really few lords. I think Ayula's possibly the only actual lord, right?
I think so, yeah. I mean, there may be one bear that provides other support, but yeah, Ayula is effectively the only viable bear-specific commander without going to someone like Morophon or something else.
Yeah, I'm looking right now, and Ayula seems to be the only one that actually gives buffs to the bears.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is various abilities that really don't have anything to do with bears.
Yeah, and so yeah, bears are definitely something where there's more support now, but again, you have to find other ways to be able to boost your bears, because Ayula is not going to fix the problem for you. You still don't have a lot of bear lords, really any. You still don't have a whole lot of bears. You have better bear synergy a little bit, but you don't have that you don't have a ton of support. But so you have to find those other ways to get around that to be able to make those bears more viable. And that's what the Obelisk of Urd does. That's what all the cards we've talked about today have done, or just they do. And we'll see what happens in the upcoming sets here if other support, if other tribes get support, or the other way around if we get more cards for all tribes. I think that's really what we're going to have to see going forward is Wizards going to be providing more support for all tribes or just specific tribes going forward?
I feel like that the Forgotten Realms set that's coming up is going to have some support for some rather under-supported tribes.
I suppose so. I mean, it really depends on if they go by the D&D set of classes or if there's going to be some other stuff that we have absolutely no idea that they're going to throw in. I doubt there's going to be squirrel tribal support in the D&D set, just for instance.
Unfortunately.
Unless it's like a squirrel berserker or something, in which case that sounds very
insane.
Very strange.
I am for that.
Yes, yes. I definitely knew you were. That's why I said that. All right. So again, I want to thank you for being on the episode today. It's been great having you.
Thank you for bringing me on.
All right. And where can people find your content on the internet?
I am on Twitch at Azale and on Twitter at AzaleCCG.
All right. And you can find the back catalog of these podcast episodes, as well as my White is Good Actually series, my Lightning Builds, and my other content series on the MTG in Quarantine podcast, available on Spotify, Google, Apple, and other podcast outlets. So again, you've been listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast. My name's MJ. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.